And this is what Paul here is emphasizing. And if you remember from the last two Sunday mornings, we told you that there were four laws that the Christian is under as far as things are concerned that the Bible does not spell out. Now, if I am a strong Christian, there are certain things in the Word of God that tells me what I am to do and what I am not to do. By the way, it's just as bad not to do what He tells you to do as it is to do what He tells you not to do. Now, so often we as Christians, we think, well, as long as I don't smoke and I don't chew and I don't dip and I don't go with those that do, we're all right. Or I don't commit adultery, I don't murder, and I don't steal, and I don't cheat, and this kind of thing, I'm great, you know. No, that's not necessarily true. It's just as bad or maybe worse not to witness for Jesus Christ than it is to get drunk. Now, you could go off somewhere down on the coast or somewhere way off me and nobody knew about it. You could tie one on. Nobody ever hear anything about it. And all it would do is tear up your body a little bit and get you out of fellowship with God. And He's going to whip you, of course, about it. But as far as your testimony is concerned, it wouldn't hurt. But now, here you are living around here in Starville, Mississippi, maybe out at the college or here in town. And there are people that live around you that are lost and going to hell. And maybe you have an opportunity to tell them about Christ, but you never mention it to them. And that person dies and goes to hell. Now, which would be worse? For you to go off somewhere and tie one on, or to let that person just die and go to hell and never tell them about it? Now, they're both wrong. Now, don't get me wrong. It's just as wrong to get drunk where nobody knows about it as it is to get drunk and starve. It's still wrong because God says that you're not to get drunk. It says it's just as wrong to go off somewhere way off and to commit adultery with somebody that you don't know and you do it as it is, away from here as it is here. But suppose you don't witness to somebody. You don't tell them about Christ and how He loved them and died and paid for sin, and they die and go to hell and spend an eternity in hell because you didn't tell them. You see, this is the thing. It's just as bad not to do what He tells you to do as it is to do what He tells you not to do. See? Now, we have weak Christians. And we have four laws that we're under as far as the things that the Bible does not spell out. Now, when He says it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care where it is. If He tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're supposed to do it. I don't care where you are, whether you're at home or whether you're away from home where no one knows who you are or anything about it. You're still supposed to do what He says regardless of where you are, what the circumstance is. But now, we're under four laws that the Bible does not say. There are a lot of things it doesn't cover. There are a lot of things in the Bible that never mentions one way or the other. Is it right or is it wrong? And you say, well, what should I do it or not should I do it? Well, there are four laws that go with this, and we talked about these four laws last Sunday and Sunday before last, and we'll just mention them again this morning because some of you were not there. And if you'd like more detail, I'll be glad to give it to you afterwards, or you can see somebody that you know was here, and they'll be glad to give them to you. But these four laws, the law of liberty, that's toward yourself. Now, you're at liberty to do anything the Bible does not specifically spell out. You're at liberty not to do anything the Bible does not definitely tell you to do. Now, you can make your own decision one way or the other about the things that the Bible does not mention either way, whether it's not to do something or whether it's to do something. Now, that's towards yourself. Then you have the law of love toward the saved people. There are people who are weak Christians, and if you do certain things, then, because of a weak Christian, he'll stumble, he'll get out of fellowship, and that weak Christian will get so far away from the Lord that he will not grow up to become a strong Christian. Or maybe there are certain things that you don't do that you ought to be doing, or maybe he thinks you ought to be doing. And so, if you don't do these things, then he'll be offended, he'll stumble, and he'll get way out of fellowship with God. So, we have a responsibility to weak Christians. Then there's the responsibility of the unsaved people. This is the law of expediency. The unsaved person is looking at you, and if you do certain things, then they're not going to listen to your testimony. Maybe the Bible doesn't say a thing about it. It may not be right or may not be wrong, but if you do it or you don't do it, they'll never listen to you as you witness to them. And then there's the law of supreme sacrifice. That's toward God. And these are things that the unsaved people aren't affected by it, nor the saved people are affected by it. But because of your extreme love for God, then you exercise these gifts. Now, pastors exercise the gift of supreme sacrifice quite often. Mothers exercise the gift of supreme sacrifice real often. And missionaries, a lot of people like this, and anybody can exercise the gift of supreme sacrifice. There's nothing wrong with doing it or not doing it, because their dedication to God, though, they deny themselves of certain things that are legitimate to glorify and to honor God. Now, we have these weak Christians, and what are we going to do? This is what we've been talking about. In the 10th verse, it says, "Thou shalt not judge thy brother." Now, here's a weak person. Now, you leave him alone. Whether you're strong or whether you're weak, do not judge your brother. Or why do you set at naught your brother, the 10th verse says. For we all are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we talked about this last Sunday morning, the judgment seat of Christ. And this is found, you want to jot this down. And by the way, on the back of your bulletin is blank, and there's a place for notes that you can write these things. All you have to do is bring your pencil, and you can put them down. Now, the thing there, the judgment seat of Christ, is found in 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, the 10th verse and following, and also the 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter, beginning at the 13th verse and following. And the judgment seat of Christ is this. Every Christian, regardless of who you are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ someday. Now, not to go to be decide whether you're going to hell or to heaven. This is decide whether about your rewards or where you're going to be during the 1,000 years of Christ's reign on the earth. Now, when you are in fellowship with God and when you're doing what He wants you to do, you will be producing gold, silver, and precious stones. And when you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, the fire is going to try your work of what kind it is, whether it's gold, silver, precious stone, or another three, wood, hay, and stubble. Now, when fire is put to wood, hay, and stubble, it goes up in smoke. The wood, hay, and stubble is burned and is gone. The gold, silver, and precious stone, it remains. Now, you see what he is saying here, Paul says. Notice the 11th verse. For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, and he does live. As I live. Now, he only stayed dead 3 days and 3 nights. He has lived from eternity past, and he lives for eternity future. And as he lives, saith the Lord, every knee is going to bow to me, and every tongue is going to confess to God. Now, it says every knee is going to bow. That word bow, that means to bend. Every knee is going to bend to God. Now, maybe you aren't interested in bending your knee to God right now, but you will. You will if you're a Christian. You'll bend it to Him. Maybe you aren't submissive to Him, and you say, I'm going to live my life the way I want to. Well, that's all right. You can do that right now, but you'll bend someday. That knee will bend to Him. Now, an unsaved person doesn't want to bend his knee to Christ. So he's not going to do it. I don't have anything to do with it. I won't trust Him as my Savior. I'll just try to make out the best I can. And my works and what I can do ought to be good enough. No, you see, this is what faith is. It's actually bending your knee to God and saying, God, I'm helpless and I'm hopeless. I cannot save myself, and I'm trusting You to do it. That's bending your knee in salvation. Now, it's also bending your knee in service, you see. We need to bend our knee. All right, God, what You want in my life, I'll do. Because we're all going to give an account of ourselves to God. You see, when I stand before the judgment seat of Christ, I'm not going to be judged for what my wife Dixie did. And she's not going to be judged for what I did. I'm not going to be judged for what Dick did. Or what Tim does. Or what Red does. Now, if I beat my wife, and she just gets all upset about it, she says, that means Scandal, I ain't going to live with him anymore. You see, now I affected her, but she's still responsible. I'm still the head of my house. And if I beat her, she says, thank You, Lord. And I know You're going to take care of that rascal. And I know You're going to straighten him out. She's still submissive to me. She still loves me. She still does what I say. She's going to be rewarded for it because God says this is her place in our home. Now, I didn't be right. I'm wrong. But that doesn't give her the opportunity to do wrong. Just because I do wrong, that doesn't mean that you can't do wrong. And just because everybody around you does wrong, that doesn't give you the opportunity or that does not release you from to do wrong. See? Everybody is going to stand before the judgment. Every Christian, now we're just talking about Christians, are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And we're going to be judged for what we do. If I have been in fellowship with God, and I have done what God wanted me to do, then He's going to reward me for what I did. And then when I get down and I'm through, He's given me my little 2 cents worth of reward that I have earned and deserved for Him as I have lived my life here for the Lord Jesus. Then Dixie's going to stand up there, and she's going to be next in line. And I'm not going. She's not going to be there. Say, "Well, my husband didn't act right, so I'm exempt." He said, "You sure are exempt. No reward." Now, see, we're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And if you live for Him right now, you see, you can be a baby, or you can take the nickel today and live your life like you want to, and serve Him for 1,000 years, because you're going to bow to Him. You're going to serve Him sometime. Either now for 100 years or 4,000, just take your pick. But you're going to do it. Everybody's going to serve Him sometime. And the more you serve Him now, the more freedom you'll have then. Because you see, you'll be higher in His government. Because the Bible says we're going to rule and reign with Him for 1,000 years. Now, we're not going to live over 100 years here, at the most. And some of you are going to be lucky to get past 50. The rate you're going. So, we're going to rule with Him. If we serve Him now, then we'll be giving orders then. See? If we give ourselves orders now, we do what we want to do now, then we're going to be taking orders then, and we're going to smile and we'll enjoy, but we're going to serve Him. Now, you'll enjoy. You'll enjoy the 1,000 years. It's going to be tremendous. It's going to be perfect environment, but you'll still be working. That's the idea. That's the idea. Because God says every man's going to give an account of himself to God. Now, I say you just take your pick. God gives you that prerogative to decide whether you are going to trust Him as your Savior or whether you're going to reject Him and die and go to hell. Then after you trust Him as your Savior, He gives you the prerogative whether you're going to serve Him or whether you're going to serve yourself. Do like you want to do now. You can do it. But your knee is going to bow and you're going to confess Him. And you're going to give an account of yourself to God. Now look at the 13th verse. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore. Now you stop judging the other person. I don't know how much reward my wife's going to get because, you see, I don't know why she does what she does. In fact, you don't know why I do what I do. Now, I may be standing up here so that everybody will think that Matt Clark, he's a wonderful guy. He preaches, and boy, he just doesn't beat his wife anymore, and he's just real fine fellow, you know. And I'm just real upstanding in the community, and I walk down the street, and everybody has to go to Matt Clark. He's faster than you bad show. He's a fine fellow. Now, I may be doing that so people will just see what a wonderful person I am. Or I may be up here really honest to goodness, trying to serve God and trying to glorify Him and trying to teach the Word of God and trying to get people to understand what that's this say and really be doing my job as unto the Lord. Now, you don't know which. And it's none of your business. That's my responsibility. You see, your responsibility is to know whether you are doing what you're doing, regardless of whether it's going to school or whether it's working on your job or whether it is being a wife or a father or a daughter or a son or whatever it is, you do everything you do to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. That is your responsibility. All right? Let us stop judging one another of the same kind. One another here means one another of the same kind anymore. Don't be judging anybody, but rather judge this. Now, notice what he says. That no man, that you put, do not put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in your brother's way. Now, don't you make a weak Christian stumble and fall. By the way you're acting and by what you're doing, don't you cause somebody else to stumble, because you will be judged for everything that you do. Now, I'm not talking about walking on eggs. God doesn't want us to be worried about this, well, live this life just like we've just got to step around those eggs, because if we step on one, we're going to bust and it's going to all be over. No, it's not that kind of thing. When we are controlled by the Holy Spirit, we're relaxed. We're happy, like Red said. We can enjoy life. But we're concerned about everybody that's around us. And when we know we are doing something that's causing somebody else to stumble and fall, then we abstain from this. You see, there's no virtue in not doing something that's evil. See, if there's something evil and you don't do it, there's no virtue in that. The virtue is in not doing something that's all right to do to help someone else. You follow me? There's no virtue in not murdering somebody. There's no virtue in not murdering. The virtue is not doing something that's all right to do in order to help someone else. That's where the good is. That's where the tremendous testimony is. So, here's something that's all right. We're talking about eating and drinking. We're talking about food. I know, and I am persuaded by the Lord Jesus Christ that there is nothing unclean of itself. Now, this unclean of itself here is talking about food. It's talking about what you eat. For instance, there's not a thing in the world wrong with eating carbohydrates. But the older you get, the more carbohydrates you eat, the fatter you're going to get. And you're going to begin to bulge, and you're going to begin to get in odd kind of shape, and you're going to get in a situation where people won't hardly even recognize you if you eat too much carbohydrates after you get a certain age. And of course, the older you get, the worse it's going to bulge you. Now, some of you don't have to worry about that now, but you just wait a couple of years. Now, there's nothing wrong with carbohydrates. It's great. In fact, for kids, they need a lot of carbohydrates because they do a lot of burning. You know, they have a lot of energy, and they run off a lot and waste a lot. And they need some of this stuff to burn. And the younger you are, the more you need. So food is not good or bad. This is what he's talking about. And he says, I am persuaded, Lord, that there's nothing unclean there, but to him that esteems it. But to him here means the weak Christian. Esteem means to think or to reckon anything to be unclean. To him is unclean. Now why? Here's a man who thinks it's unclean to eat pork. Now there's nothing wrong with pork as far as the Bible's concerned today. You can eat all you want. In fact, a friend of mine who works with the Jews, who's going to be holding our vow meeting starting December the 3rd. You want to put that date down in your mind, and in your book we'll be having our vow meeting. Dr. Cameron, he works with the Jews down on Miami Beach, and he has a tremendous work down there. And he's a tremendous Bible preacher and teacher, and you'll love him to death. Red, he's even older than you are. But you'll love him. You will. And when he wins those Jews to the Lord, the first thing they want to know, he says a lot of times, is, can I eat pork? And he says, friends, you need to eat buzzard if you want to. Now, it's not, there's nothing as far as food is concerned unclean of itself. But if you think it's unclean, then it's unclean to you. Now, why? All right? What is sin, basically? It's rebellion against God. It's not wanting to do what God wants you to do. And you think that God does not want you to eat that pork, and you eat it, then you're rebelling against God, even though it's perfectly all right. You see, you're still rebelling against God because you think it's wrong. And when you think something is wrong and you do it anyway, it's not anything wrong. It's just as bad as if you did something that was wrong and you knew it was wrong. Because, you see, basically the problem is rebelling against God or not doing what God says to do. And any time you do, friend, you're out of fellowship and you think you get a whooping if you're saved. Of course, if you're not saved, you're going to hell anyway. And one more sin is not going to send you any deeper. You'll still be separated from God forever. And if you don't trust Him as your Savior, you'll never have eternal life. Look at the 15th verse. But if, and it's true, if thy brother be grieved with thy food. Now here's a weak brother. And he is grieved with what you're eating. He said, how walkest thou not in love? You're not walking in love. There's a poor Christian who's weak. He doesn't understand that you can eat this, and he thinks it's wrong, and he's just a baby Christian. And you go along and eat it anyway, you're not walking in love. You're not walking under the filling of the Holy Spirit, because that fellow's going to stumble and he's going to fall. He's going to get out of fellowship. Instead of you helping him and building him up, you see, you're destroying him. Destroy not him with thy food. Don't destroy the weak brother with food. Some little thing that doesn't mount to a hill of beans, what difference does it make whether you eat a piece of meat today or not? It doesn't make any difference, because just as long as you get enough to keep your body alive, that's all that's important as far as food is concerned. So don't make food an issue, something that this important, because Christ died for that person. And this is the issue. The issue is the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. This is what people need to know. The unsaved, and of course Christ died for the saved too. Let not the good things that you do be evil spoken of. In other words, maintain a good testimony. For the kingdom of God is not food and drink. When we get into the millennium, when we get into the 1,000 years of Christ around the earth, the important thing is not going to be eating and drinking there. Now, I have an idea we're going to be able to eat during the 1,000 years, even though we'll have our glorified bodies and we won't have any blood in those bodies. We can still eat because Christ ate after his resurrection. You remember when he was fixing breakfast for the disciples there, and he cooked some fish and he ate some fish with them. Now, this was after his resurrection. He ate that fish and went on by his way. Now, we'll be able to eat. I'm sure during the 5 years there's going to be plenty of food around. So some people are going to be farming, that I know. They're not doing anything for Christ now, so they'll be farming then. Now, maybe you don't like farming. Maybe you better get with it then. You don't like to get out in the field and chop. Well, best thing to do is do what the Lord wants you to do now. So you can sit back at your desk there in the office and throw your feet up on the desk and grab back and take it easy, you know. Or if you want to go out and play 9 holes of golf, you can go for 1,000 years. Yeah. Great. All right. For the kingdom of God is not eat and food and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is what? Peace, joy, righteousness, when we're controlled by the Holy Spirit. This is what he'll produce in your life. When you're doing what God wants you to do, there will be joy, there will be peace, there will be righteousness there. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable unto God. When you do these things, when you're controlled by the Holy Spirit and you do what he says, these are acceptable unto Christ, and they are also acceptable, they approve the man. Man will approve it. Man will always approve what the Holy Spirit says to do. He can't knock. There's no way a man can knock what the Holy Spirit tells a man to do. See? Let us therefore follow after things that make for peace. Let us follow after that which the Holy Spirit produces peace. And things which with which we may edify one another. Things that we may help build up one another. Now, this is what we are supposed to do as Christians. You're supposed to help build up somebody. Maybe there's somebody here in our congregation who needs building up, and you're a stronger Christian, but you're not trying to help. Or maybe there's somebody around you that you go to school with, or maybe that you work with, or maybe they live next door to you, or live around you, and you could be helping them to grow up. This is what we have Sunday school for, is to help people to grow up. This is what we teach the Word of God Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night about, is to help people to grow up. And maybe, what are you doing about helping people? Are you encouraging them to go where they can hear the Word of God taught? Some weak Christian, have you done anything? Maybe you need to sit by. Maybe you need to share your Bible with them while they are here. They're so weak, they're not going to bring it. There are a lot of people like this. They're really not interested. But if they see you taking notes and they see you watching and following in the Word of God and you let them share, you share your Bible with them, maybe they'll begin to get interested too. You never can tell them what one little thing might do. See? You never know. We are to edify. We are to build up one another. The 20th verse, for food destroyeth not the work of God. Food is not what's going to destroy or what needs to destroy the work of God. All things indeed are pure. Now he's talking about food here. All food is pure. The food itself is not impure. There's nothing of food that's impure. But it is evil for that man who eateth with offense. Now here's a man who eats it. Here's a man who does something that's perfectly all right. But he's offending him, making offense in it. And when he stands, he's going to be judged for that. He's going to be responsible for that. It is good neither to eat meat, nor to drink wine, nor anything by which thy brother stumbleth. Anything that you're going to cause your brother to stumble, or is offended, or is made weak. Now let's not be doing things that are going to offend people. It's going to make them weak. Make them stumble. The faith that you have, actually, is what it should read in the 22nd verse. The faith that you have it to thyself before God. Now, we have faith. We know the Word of God. We're strong Christians. We know this is not right, not wrong. We know what right it is to do. Or we can trust the Lord. We trust the Lord to know that one day we're going to live again on this earth. Remember what Job says? He says, even though skin worms eat my body, yet in my flesh I'll walk upon the earth and I'll see the Lord. He knew that. Even old Job, way back then in the Old Testament, he knew it. John says we're going to rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. Paul says in the 15th chapter, 1 Corinthians, we're going to have resurrected bodies. We're going to be resurrected someday. We're going to live with Him and reign with Him. But most of us live like we just got the next minute. If we don't make the most out of the next minute and get the most for ourselves out of this next minute, boy, everything's lost. No. That's not the idea. You've got faith, have it to thyself. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he allows. You don't condemn yourself. You don't judge yourself in the things that you're allowing or things that you're doing. And he that doubteth, now here's a weak Christian. He's doubt. He doubts when he eats that thing. He thinks it's wrong and he eats it in it. He's condemned. He's judged. He's condemned. He's judged if he eats. Because he eateth not of faith. You see, our Christian life is to be lived completely in faith. We are to trust the Lord for every movement that we make, everything that we do. We are to do that to the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says, whatsoever you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. You see? When you do something, it's not of faith, then it's sin. It's sin. Where are you this morning? Have you trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior? Have you believed that He died on the cross and paid for your sins? You see, an unsaved person, this is not to you. Paul is writing to Christians here, particularly. And this is not even applicable to you. But we do want you to know that here at Emmanuel, we are interested in people not going to hell. We want everybody to go to heaven. When Jesus Christ died on the cross, He died and paid for all of your sins. Every one you ever have committed, the ones you are committing, and the ones you will commit, He died and did that for you. And we want you to know, and we want you to understand, that when you put your trust and your faith in Him to have died in your place and paid for your sins, You don't go to hell, but you'll have forever life. You'll go to heaven. Salvation is the free gift of God. You don't work for it. You don't earn it. You don't deserve it. You just trust the blood of Jesus Christ as the payment for your sin. And you can do that right in your seat, right where you're sitting. If not, you don't have to walk down this aisle to be saved. There's no way in the Word of God that says you have to walk down an aisle to be saved. I defy you to show it to me, if this is what you believe. I know a lot of people say it, but I've never seen it in the Word of God. I have never seen it anywhere in the Word of God that you have to walk an aisle to be saved. Well, 118 times it says, believe on the Lord Jesus, trust Him, and you will be saved. And I can show them to you, too, if you'd like to see them. Now, I don't have time to show it to all of you, because most of you here know this. But if you don't, I count it a real privilege to open the Word of God and show you exactly what it says about going to heaven. If you have any question at all about it whatsoever, we'd like to do that.